You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John, and this week me and Kim are having Adam Roberts on the podcast, co-founder and lead programmer at Panic Fest, which is happening very soon in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, we recently had Peter Hall on to talk about South by Southwest, and that colossal film festival that just takes over all of Austin. Panic Fest is one of our absolute favorite film festivals because it only takes place in one movie theater. So it's a lot like going to a summer camp with all of the horror nerds in the surrounding cities. You bump into the exact same people over the course of a week, and you all just nerd out on films, get your mind blown out in the movie theater, and discover, you know, some of the best films that have yet to come out. It is always one of our absolute highlights of the year every time we go, and we are very bummed that we won't be there this year. But Panic Fest starts April 9th, runs to the 15th, and we've got Adam here to talk to us about some of his favorite movies that are going to be playing at the festival this year. Some major studio movies that are going to be coming to theaters near you soon, but a lot of hidden gems, movies that you've maybe never heard of. So a lot of really good discoveries here. If you're trying to make a watch list of movies that you absolutely have to check out in 2026, this is a great place to start. If you are in any way close or in driving distance to Kansas City, Missouri, we absolutely encourage you to make the trek out. But if it's too far or you just can't book out the time, Panic Fest also has a virtual component, which is really cool. They use Gather. We've used Gather before in the Fiend Club. It's like creating a virtual space, a spot that you can hang out with people. You can chat. And there are a ton of movies that are playing at the film festival that are also available on the virtual end. The virtual side is something that a lot of film festivals are starting to abandon. But thankfully, Panic Fest is still keeping that going for, you know, all of us horror fans that can't make the trip down. This was a really fun chat. We always have a great time talking with Adam. And I know there's going to be some movies on here that you're going to be absolutely stoked to check out. I'll be back at the end with some more info about Panic Fest. But for now, let's toss over to our conversation with Adam Roberts. Adam, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, man. Really excited to talk to you about Panic Fest. We miss it.
I feel like we've done this 1,000 times, but we haven't done it in 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what life feels like.
Yeah, but we do Panic Fest every year, so there's that conundrum too.
And what is time?
Yeah, what is time? Never a more appropriate name for a film festival in 2026 than Panic Fest. Way to go! You really saw the future when you put this one together.
I mean, it worked well through COVID as well.
That's true.
Well, you know, it actually feels like false advertising because everything we show is nowhere near the panic-inducing reality of the world.
Right.
It's unfortunately like kind of a chill time. Like it's a good time. Yeah. But yes, this is the 14th annual Panic Fest, everybody. Wow.
It's so exciting.
It's crazy because I'm only 16 number. Years old. Yeah, I think every year I've said that. Whenever I say the year, I'm like, I'm only X about years old. How could I even be 16? I put this together when I was 2 years old.
Gets a standing ovation every time. Everybody's in the
yeah, everyone loves that.
Rolling over.
Everyone's thankful for that joke every time.
Yeah, and for anybody who's not familiar with Panic Fest, why don't you give them a quick little rundown on what you're doing out there in Kansas City?
Panic Fest is I can never remember the exact amount of days. I should probably get this right. 14 years in. Panic Fest kicks off April 9th in person in Kansas City, Missouri. In America. And it is a week-long festival that takes place mostly here, but also has an online extension. So if you're listening, you can't attend. There's a virtual fest that runs the 9th to the, I believe, 22nd. I'm just saying things. I think that's what I can't remember. But the festival, we do everything genre-related. So, you know, this year you can expect, of course, things that are in the horror and sci-fi, but we also tackle comedies and thrillers and action films and anything that's kind of adjacent, we will hit upon. So, yeah, that's kind of the fest. We've been doing it for a long time. We don't really focus on anything other than the movies. We have a couple of, extra events, I guess, a couple podcasts or live events, but we really focus. I think it's weird to say we focus on just the movies, but every year people are like, what else do you have doing? Are there any experiential stuff? I'm like, no, we are a film fest. We did panels for years ago, but like we kind of got rid of them because I'm like, I don't know. I think everyone, there's so many podcasts that are film podcasts. Like you can listen to your podcast and learn everything we could do on a panel if you just listen weekly. Or listen to anything.
Oh, we're not a good panel.
Yeah, but people are always trying to get information in, you know what I mean? Like they're desperate to get information whenever they come on. But that is like I think what separates us is that we are a film fest that really just old school focused on films, but we are small. So only like 300 people can attend the festival. It's all in one location and everybody's together. So everyone's on the same footing. So whether you're a filmmaker from the UK that are traveling in, or you live down the street in Kansas City and you're just coming in to watch movies, or your studio here to watch stuff to buy, everybody's treated equally. Nobody gets preferential treatments really, except for me. And I'm just walking around with, the money bags, obviously. But I think that's what is so joyous about the festival is that everybody is treated equally and everyone, which sounds like an easy thing to do, but I've been to so many festivals that it just isn't the case. Like you feel like, second rate citizens at some of these festivals. And the dates are actually the April 9th to the 19th.
Okay. You're close.
but yeah, so that's like, I think what makes us the best. You know, we really try to focus on good programming, original stuff. We're not always chasing world premieres. We're not always chasing the biggest studio things. We actually pass on a lot of studio things every year because we want the most diverse selection. So we want to have original films from emerging filmmakers next to some of the films that people on this list have heard about and are excited to see. Because, you know, the best thing about Film Fest is you're going to watch something that may have like a line or two synopsis and maybe one photo exists in the world. Mm-hmm. And you really don't know because there's no Letterboxd reviews. There's no anything out there. So you're like, shit, I hope this is good. And we try to make sure that everything is really good. But that's like our whole thing is, try the best quality films and try to like allow people to easy access into the community, I guess.
Yeah.
And a lot of the like the big studio movies, when they play at film festivals, they're so tight on like when they actually show them. It's like a week before release when anybody's going to see it anyways. So like it's more fun to see the movies that, you know, like sometimes haven't been acquired yet or, you know, mm-hmm. haven't come out or aren't coming out for a year or so. And you can, you know, like rub it in your friends' faces that you've seen all these cool movies that they're not going to get to see yet.
Right. And we all hate spoilers nowadays. Like the best way to go into a movie with knowing absolutely nothing is to see it before there's like $1 million marketing campaign behind it.
But then it's built in with people you can talk to about the movie because everybody at the festival is watching the same movies.
Right. I feel like a broken
offline
record.
Life.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like a broken record anytime anybody just says the word film festivals, but I'm like, go to film festivals, whether it's a giant film festival or a small film festival, go to film festivals because if you are obsessed with movies, that's where other people obsessed with movies are. And you guys get to talk like real people.
Well, it's like if you love movies and you're like, I go to the theater once or twice a week or whatever the case is. But what you don't do typically is when you go to the theater is you don't hang out there all after or before all day. And then you start seeing the same people at screenings and talking. And then you just like weasel your way into each other's conversations. And then at the end of two or three or four days, you're like, I think I'm best friends with Lloyd Kaufman. I don't know what happened or whatever the case is, you know, because everyone here, like you have access to everybody. Like we don't put a Rolodex of here's all the celebrities coming here or filmmakers or anything. But like if there's movie is playing and they have a Q&A here, they're probably here. Sometimes we do. We're like, oh, Heather Langenkamp's here. But when Heather was here, she's just bouncing around, just doing whatever the fuck Heather wants to do here.
Just hanging out in the lobby.
That's what I mean.
I went to brunch with Heather Langenkamp.
That is true. I think that's what I mean when like the accessibility is very different, but like going to film fest, not all film fests, but going to the right film fests are like is the best feeling where you really feel like you're at a week long or a weekend long slumber party and everyone there is on the same page and you don't have to worry about anything. Like, sure, we all still go into our closets and have secret parties where we're like, that movie wasn't very good. John was like, are you gonna say there's secret makeout parties here?
That's what I thought.
No, just that, like,
secret makeout party.
I was like, where's this closet? I'm not festing, right?
Yeah, every fest has that closet. No, but like, I don't know how to tell people that, but it's like, go to, if you can't go to film festivals, hopefully you're in a city where you have a theater that does film discussions and talkbacks, because that's the next like closest thing you can get to, where people are invested. They want to hear like people talk about the movies, but then they want to stay and like meet other people and chat and like discover like what they each learned, because everyone has different experiences when you watch movies. Some people are like, that movie's hilarious, and you're like, you're fucked up. That was the weirdest movie and scariest movie I've ever seen. And like, you only discover that though when you talk to other people. But like, film fests are, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have met like filmmakers and audience members or press or volunteers or whatever that have gone on to make movies together or gone on to work on something together. Like, it is a natural incubator of like new friendships and new coworkers. And it's like kind of the coolest thing. And everyone just is like, this is what real life should be. And it's not. Yes. But like, for these 7 days, we are all film lovers and filmmakers. And it's kind of beautiful.
You're making me so sad because we're not coming down this year.
Yeah.
It's just,
I'll just FaceTime the entire time. I'll just put you in my pocket.
You can just like put us on the counter and we'll just
oh yeah, just do that. Put
we'll
us
just
on the
mingle
tablet
in the lobby.
Yeah, and we'll just hang out.
Just box heads. Yeah, that sounds pretty good actually.
I mean, that's, you're uniquely prepared for this too anyway, because like creating that community, like that film loving discussion community, like you're already doing that with the theater, with the Screenland Armor. So like 365 days out of the year, like if you want that experience, you guys just gotta go to Adam's Theater. But yeah, Panic Fest is really where it's like summer camp. It's the, so I'm gonna start describing it as a slumber party. I like that a lot more. A slumber party for horror nerds.
Yeah, because the days are long, you know. It is like, I guess I never went to summer camp. I have no perspective except for what I learned in like Camp Nowhere and other movies like that. the top one, Camp Nowhere. but it is like, you know, I get here at like 10:30 a.m. and then I go home sometimes like 3 a.m. and I'm like, man, I'm tired, but that was awesome. And I'm going to be here tomorrow again to do it one more time and then one more time. And then it's just like, by the end, you're like, you kind of hit a lull of like, I have seen so much. And I've talked to so many people on Monday that you're like, I think I'm dead inside. But then on Wednesday, you're like, you're reinvigorated somehow, and because you've slept a little bit and you're like, oh shit, it's closing night already. And now I'm sad. Because everyone's going away and I won't see anybody for a year, and maybe we'll all be dead.
Maybe we'll all be dead.
That's honestly like one of my favorite parts about the festival, is like those end few days when like a lot of the filmmakers and stuff have left and you get to like watch some quieter movies, because I feel like by that time you're exhausted and you're like, okay, now I'm gonna watch these movies and I'm going to talk to no one and it's gonna be great.
Well, yeah, what the years you guys were coming, Monday was always our favorite day. Monday, Wednesday, no one can bother us now. We're watching movies. We're eating pizzas and we're watching movies. Leave us alone.
That's when we become tourists.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, we stay so long that we become like honorary residents of Kansas City. Let's get into the program, man. Yeah, like tell us
some of these movies.
Yeah.
So I think this year, you know, you'd think I'd have like better statistics in front of me, but I don't. Which I know we have. Well, I can actually tell you. I have somewhere, here's a document.
You're like, wait, I do have statistics.
There's 32 in-person feature films. Okay. But online, so when I say online, for people who aren't aware, we started in 2020 a virtual festival, and it helped us expand the festival both in terms of programming and our reach, because it's you know, things do cost money and are expensive. And while we are significantly cheaper than a lot of other festivals, it still is a lot of money, but the online lets us offer films at a lower price and at the comfort of your computer or your living room. And we have 33 in person. And then additionally, we have 14 other films online, and there's some that cross over. So some of the in-person are online. I think we have like 25 features online this year, which is the most I think we've ever had. And then we always hit like that 33 in person. And then between all the shorts, I think there's like 85 total shorts.
Wow.
So there's a lot of films, and there's only one repertory screening, because there's so much. Honestly, there's we could have had more films. We just don't have room for them. And I have two more screens here, and maybe eventually we'll be taking over all four rooms. But we just want to make sure that for the filmmakers and for the audiences, that every screening is as full as possible and the two screens we're on. Because no one wants to. I've been at like South By, and I've been at a world premiere that has like 22 people in it. And you're like, this is crazy. But that's because they have like 45 movies playing at one time, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not 45. It might be like 8 or 10, but that's still a lot. It spreads people thinner, you know, and things screen 3 or 4 times. Here, everything in person screens once. So if you're coming to the in-person fest, if it's playing in person, it plays once. So if you miss it, you know, it is what it is. If it's sold out, it is what it is, but there's something you can watch at the same time. And then online, some of those things repeat. So if you're like, well, this one's playing online later, but this one's not next to it, I'll watch the in-person one and then go home and watch that virtually. And the virtual fest, you can, like I said, you can do it on your computer, or there's apps for, I believe, Roku and all Apple devices. I believe are all the only two that matter, but there's a Panic Fest app. And just like Sundance, if you've ever attended that virtually, we use the same exact program. So it's the highest quality program that exists. But it's pretty great. So the virtual fest, we try to make it feel like you're at the fest. So things are premiering. And once they premiere, they stay online until they hit the max number of watches, which we've rarely hit because it's kind of a lot. But so if you're attending virtually, it's like there's one thing to watch opening night and then a couple things the next day. And then by the end of the weekend, now you have like, you know, 15 or 16 things. And then by the end of the week, you have, you know, 40 things available, you know, different programs that you can watch. It's impossible to watch everything. I'll tell you that.
That's so fun, though. It forces you to watch movies online like an actual festival. Like everybody's watching this movie Saturday night. Like that's cool.
Yeah, because it's like because they do what's called unlock. So it's like Friday at 9 p.m. this movie unlocks, and after it unlocks, it's available till it's the caps to the end of the fest. So you can watch it anytime. But it is kind of cool because you're like, oh, I want to watch it when it premieres. You could pre-buy, and it'll be loaded up in your queue right when you're ready. So it does feel like, you know, you can make it so if you're actually at a fest, like I have to watch this when it starts. Some people just watch as they go, but it's really cool. And then we have a virtual playground in there where you can talk with other guests that are on there virtually. And we do a couple like pointed meetups where it's like, come do this virtual happy hour, come meet other people at this time. But it's really cool. It's like Tim built this huge thing on Gather that's like a virtual film fest and theater. And it's like meant to look like Screenland or theater. And you can run around, there's games, and there's a lot of stuff for you to do. And it's really cool. Like the virtual component, honestly, like was so fun and successful in 2020 and 2021. It was like, as long as we can do this, we will always do this.
Yeah.
And some studios are like going away from that. And I'm like, I don't know why, because it, you know, like we can cap stuff just like in theater screening. So it's not really about the, you know, if you play South By, you can screen to thousands of people. Here, 200 people can see it one time.
Yeah.
Why not let another 200 people see it online?
Yeah.
And I guess there's a concern of piracy, but these have like, you'd have to pirate it on your phone. You can't like copy. If you try to screen record, it goes black on the screen record. Okay. So it's got like good DRM protection and stuff. So I don't know why they don't do it, but like, I think it's one of the coolest things we continue to do. Like, and it takes me the most work. like online film fest takes the most time, but we have a ton of movies. We can't talk about them all in here, but I can talk about a mix of the headliners and a mix of some of the ones that I think are worth like shouting out. And not to say the others aren't, but you know, I just said that there's like 140 total films between shorts, long form, and features. That's impossible to talk about all of them equally. So I will say, as I say to all the filmmakers, if your film is in the festival, you already won my personal award. Like the Panic Fest Awards, which we don't do. We do audience choice awards only. Anything that makes the festival, in our opinion, is the best of the best that year, whether it's virtually or in person. Sometimes the reason something plays virtually isn't a lesser movie. It's just that maybe it's played a lot in other places. Like maybe it's played 12 film festivals and we know that there's just maybe a little less excitement. Or maybe that filmmaker isn't attending, but a bunch of other ones are. And those take precedent over what's going in person and what's not. So that, you know, programming is like kind of a wild thing for me to do. It takes me the longest time actually, because it's like, who's coming? What days are they here? Da 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 da. And like every year more and more people come. So that makes it harder because we try to pack the weekend with filmmaker Q&As. And now we're like bleeding into the weekdays. And it's like, please stay, don't leave, stay for the whole week so everyone has full screenings. But But yeah, so let's just talk about some of these. Let's get into some whatever you guys want. I don't know if you have a list pulled up or if I'm just supposed to lead the way.
No, we don't have a list pulled up. Like, I deliberately tried to, I mean, we got a whole bunch of emails and everything about, like, you know, press releases and stuff, but like, I tried not to look too much at the program because I wanted to be excited by it. So you're playing one repertory screening this year. What's that one repertory screening?
It's opening night. Typically opening night is where I've done it because it's not everyone's here and it feels like a fun way if you're just buying one thing. This year we're doing our first film print ever at the festival because we just installed 35 and 70 millimeter film at the theater. We're showing I'm gonna put an asterisk next to this because somebody's gonna be like, well, technically, we're showing the technical first, the 15th anniversary of Your Next. I say technical because it premiered in 2011. At a multiple film festivals and was bought by Lionsgate and sat on a shelf for 2.5 years.
Then
it actually came out in America in 2013, but the world premiere was 15 years ago. So we're going to go with that because it sat on a shelf for 2.5 years. So You're Next with AJ Bowen is coming for that, who is the co-lead of that movie. But AJ's great. He's been at the fest before. He's a super nice dude. It's been like 5 years, I think, since he's been here. So that'll be cool. But yeah, You're Next on 35 for the asterisk 15th anniversary.
That'll be dope.
Sick, yeah.
Movie is great. And I don't think I've ever seen it in a theater. I'm sure it will be like a really fun screening.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it's like a crazy movie. And yeah. I feel like you underestimate it until you're watching it and you're like, oh shit, this movie goes hard.
Yeah, I think Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett deliberately wrote it to get into TIFF's Midnight Madness program. Because Colin Geddes, TIFF programmer for Midnight Madness before Peter took over, Peter Kowalski, he had like kind of not like a guideline, but like he had like a unofficial
rubric,
list
yeah.
of like what makes a good Midnight Madness movie.
How to be a Midnighter.
And so they basically just took that list and like, well, that's our template for our movie. Let's figure out what we can come up with.
That's funny. I mean, that was like, you know, that was also such a cool time of movies. That was like, that was 15 years ago. So I was, you know, 25. And that was just such a great time, I think, for independent filmmaking. Like that was like on the backside of mumblecore, but like people can make these movies really good with like up and coming actors or this like there's like a good like trope of AJ is one of them trope of actors at that time with like AJ and Joe Swanberg's in this. And you know, this was Barbara Crampton's comeback movie. Yeah. Like, there's a whole bunch of things in this movie that is like now it seems like this movie is a huge film. And I think it's got a lot of attention. But I think like people forget like it was a pretty small movie. It was filmed in Missouri, not too far away from here, where Simon Barrett's from. So very cool screening. So kicking off the fest actually on the same night, right before You're Next, is another alumni's film. This is the newest film from Spider One and Chrissy Fox called Big Baby.
Woo!
This movie is quite fun. it is just like a straight ahead slasher and something very different for Spider. And one that I think is just a great way to kick the fest off. And when I told him it was the opening night, he was like, for real? And I was like, yeah, this movie is like such a crowd pleasing, fun movie. Like leading into Your Next, it's a great way to bridge that gap between like, you know, fully independent film, which this is Big Baby. It's not no studio owned it or made it. He made it independently. But Big Baby to, you know, something like Your Next into the festival. Those are both like independent films that are going to have bigger life. Well, Your Next does, but Big Baby will have a much bigger life. No pun intended after this, because, you know, it is a commercial film. And I say that with like, you know, knowing Spider makes pretty are oust driven films or films that like to be a little unusual. But it is really commercial and it's a great opening night film. And Spider and Chrissy are great at Q&A's. So I can't wait to, it might be me asking them questions. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
That'd be cool. It's almost like a video nasty, right? Is that the idea?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say I keep telling Spider that he doesn't know that he's actually just like making Stephen King movies. because I was like, oh, this is like a modernized film version of The Dark Half. So yeah, but it is in the slasher format.
Okay,
so
say no more.
I've seen some of the stills. The Big Baby looks pretty cool.
it is very cool, and this movie is gory. which again is something pretty new. Like he's had like grotesque step moments in his movies, but I wouldn't say he's had like a lot of like a high death count or a lot of blood. And this movie has, it has the goods.
Right on.
So Friday, so we have a bunch of movies Friday. So I think there's like 10 things or something this day. I don't actually know.
What's your favorite?
I'll just throw a couple of them. So world premiere of a movie called Don't Sleep Alone. As somebody who had, there's a couple of these that hit on it this year. And I think people will know the ones that are like the most, Adam must have loved this movie because he had night terrors as a kid for a long time.
I was going to say, is the theme this year like Adam's fears?
It should be well, I would say like, that's one of the hardest things about programming, because you're watching movies that you have to be like, this isn't really for me, but maybe it's for somebody else, and identifying like that there's possibility that there is a somebody else. But I had sleep paralysis with my night terrors, and this movie is fully about sleep paralysis and night terrors, and it really worked. Like last year we had a film called It Feeds, and to me this kind of feels like this year's version of that, like kind of a throwback movie to a more high concept fun time of horror, while still being like, you can tell there's a lot of personal stuff in this film for the filmmaker. So that one, big one for me. I know the programming team loved this 65 minute, I believe, movie called Assets and Liabilities. I really liked it too, but I watched it. I was the last one to watch it. So it already cleared every hurdle it needed. Oh. And they're like, everybody's notes was, rarely do I say I want a movie to be longer, but this time I really wish this movie was a lot longer. And it is just a guy, like a middle-aged suburban dad, is selling his investment property. And that's like all you should know about this movie. Okay. Because again, it's 1 hour long.
Huh? Yeah, that's true.
And this movie doesn't fuck around with like anything it's trying to do. Once it starts cooking, it goes so fast.
I'm so excited.
I'm so sold.
I'm constantly just like, 70 minutes, that's all we need. We do not need movies to be longer than 70 minutes.
Yeah. And this movie is like, it's like, it was made for a very low budget. Like I would guess under 10 grand.
Oh,
and
wow.
This movie just is like, it's like the perfect type of movie for me, where it's like, you watch this and you're like, damn, this guy is gonna, if he gets 100 grand or 300 grand, he's gonna make a fucking masterpiece. Like,
wow.
It's such a vision, I think, on a small scale that we all loved. And then the big two things that night, not to discount anything else playing there, is, you know, the big studio movie kicking off the fest is the one that everyone's talking about called Obsession. That is a big one. It is a watch it with a full crowd. Like, people are going to lose their mind watching this movie. And it's cool because it's been a long time since Universal Pictures. Well, this is Focus, but Universal purchased a movie from a festival, and this got purchased immediately on its first screening. And they're putting it out in May, and, you know, like kind of a kickoff to summer. So they're very confident in this movie because the goods are delivered. I will say it does. The hype is there for this film. And then every year, our unofficial president and king and ambassador, Joe Lynch and Rebecca Howard, do a secret movie screening that has sometimes, not always, been a double feature. And my parameters this year were, can we get back to some level of genre and horror? Because this guy's they've shown disco movies, they've shown surf movies, they've shown...
Okay, the surf movie was really good, though.
Listen, that was actually life-changing. Full disclosure, that was life-changing for everybody in the screening. But what's cool about this is, no matter, this always sells out really, really quick. But we don't know what it is, but Joe refuses to take it to the big theater, which I really appreciate. He doesn't want to take it away from another screening's audience. So he keeps it nice and tight with like 60 people, which is great. And you know, I love, my favorite theater is actually Theater 2, but it's cool that he doesn't want to move it and become bigger. Cause it is what it is. And it's always weird shit. And this year I've only seen one of the movies he's doing this year. And maybe he's doing two, and maybe he's doing three. No, three would be crazy. Three would be crazy. It is always fun. So, and Joe does other things at the fest, and him and Rebecca both host and will be parts of other components.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Saturday, world premiere of a movie called Voices of Our Mother.
Okay.
The matriarch of a family falls really dangerously ill slash is dying, however you want to describe it. And the family comes together and are learning about, I guess, the family history and what they don't expect. And, you know, we've seen a lot of versions of what I just said, I think, over the years. I think that what this one gets right is visuals are really good, first and foremost. And it has this great atmosphere in this house, which is another character of the film. But it's also just like, the ending is very similar to one of my favorite movies ever. The buildup is, and it just gets like, it delivers on the ending where I think a lot of these films just get softer at the end.
Okay.
And like pull their, instead of, they all pull their punches in a lot of ways, but this one like kind of ramps up and gets like unexpectedly chaotically wild, which I really enthusiastically appreciate. Like, I love a movie that just like takes to something we've seen a million times and is just like, yeah, but what if we just like went haywire at the end? And I'm like, yes. Fuck yeah. Like, so
what I'm that's always what asking is. For short movies, crazy endings.
Yeah,
that's
like,
all I
we've
want.
We've seen the emotional core, like
exactly.
Let's move on.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, so I think people really like this one. I fucking hope so. I hope they like all these movies. I believe this one is also a world premiere. I think they have like some kind of test screening for it, but I don't think it's actually played in a final cut. And that's Scout Taylor Compton and Daniel Harris' new movie called Last Chance Motel.
Right on.
Starring a very hammy and vicious Heather Langenkamp as the villain in this movie. This is like, you know, they're both, of course, from the Halloween franchise. They've been in horror and genre for a very long time. They know everything. Now they're getting behind the camera. They're also in front of the camera in this, but this is just like a really, really like fun romp. Like they made the, whatever I imagine the initial conversation was, is what this movie is just about a wedding party gone wrong, essentially. Right. And thanks to Heather Langenkamp's incredible, motel running heiress, she gives a performance that when I was watching this, I was like, I've never seen Heather do anything close to what she's doing in this movie. Oh, and now great. All I want is for her to be like cast as every villain in every movie. Because
yeah,
she's so fucking fun and against like her typical type. But yeah, it's just like a really fun ride of a movie made by people who know the genre and love it and are just here to present like a really, really rompy kind of camp film.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one that everyone's gonna have a blast at. And Scout came here one time years ago for like 7 minutes. So I've only briefly met Scout once, and she was lovely.
Was it with
Oh, it was for Allegoria, wasn't it?
No,
it was for The Bride, Bury the Bride.
Oh, right. Yeah. My mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was here for literally like 4 hours or 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Like she flew in, came straight to the fest, and then had to go back because she had to fly out the next morning.
Shoot.
World premiere of another movie called Ivan. And this is, I would say, the most like anti-technology movie, modern day, like anti-AI, anti-surveillance, anti-computers, anti-everything kind of thing.
But it follows. Do you have to read the movie? Like, do they just hand out pages?
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about this movie is that the director, Damien Fannin, he made a
is a robot. Film. Oh, sorry.
is actually a computer. He is Skynet. Oh, he made a short film a couple years ago that played Panic Fest called Ivan. That's what this movie is called as well. Loosely, I mean, they're very like similar ideas. But it is about this girl reconnecting with her father who gives her this new device. Think of like whatever the next version of like Alexa will be. And it's called Ivan. And it's a tech. I love tech thrillers and tech horror. And this thing, talk about like some intense performances and stuff, but it is kind of ooey gooey. Like, I don't like anything in modern society.
Okay.
at all. And really just expands upon, I think, the short film that, played here before. So very cool to have him here years later with a feature that we all really liked because there's nothing worse.
That
the is opposite. Very cool.
What a story arc. That same night, there's a movie that I think just had its world premiere, or it's about ready to. I cannot remember. Called Frankie Maniac Woman, a movie that we all really liked. That is just like, this is probably the most stylish movie of the festival, but a movie that also nails, I think, its theme and subtext. But this is also a slasher film. You might have saw this movie last year, Traumatica, the director's first film.
Oh yeah, that sounds familiar. Yep.
The synopsis they give you is like nothing. If I read you the synopsis, you're going to be like, I don't want to see this movie, but I'm going to tell you this movie is a bona fide stylistic slasher movie that is like an authentic, like American modern giallo type of film.
Okay.
And uses like the context of like celebrity, but mostly like how we look as a crutch. And it's just like a really cool film with a wild killer in it. That kind of just rocks.
Sorry, what was the name of that one again?
Frankie Maniac Woman.
I would probably see it for the title alone.
Yeah.
And then like theater next to it, we're all day we're playing like kind of fun, weird, like the coolest independent films I think we've had in a while. We have two movies that are set in like the theater world, and they're both like horror comedies, and they're both really good. So just quick shout out to a movie called Break a Leg and then another movie called The Theater is Dead. Those are both playing, but they're both like really fun. I love found footage movies and I love the Blair Witch Project. I think everyone has been to the fest, know this about me. There's a movie that was submitted called Loner. I think it might have like the creepiest, maybe scariest moments. It's not many movies try to be scary. And this movie is such a like a paced, slow movie. That when it finally gets to that last act, just like Blair Witch, first hour, just fucking walking around, nothing's really happening. Mm-hmm. It's that last 25 minutes that really send you like, holy shit. Cause you're invested now. Cause you've been waiting and they've been building quietly dread that you don't know. And this movie is kind of the same. It's a guy going out to the woods who's foaming himself, for a particular reason and his journey. And I think this movie nailed what he was trying to accomplish here in terms of like what I think why he made this movie. And it's a very, very low budget, very small movie, but it worked really well for me. Really liked it. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of these where I'm just like, yeah, I love it because I put in the fest. Okay. So that one has been screened. So I think we might be the North American premiere, but this movie, world premiere, it is called Demonetized.
Okay, all right.
And this
and
is like
Facebook.
This is like, again, a premise we've been like, oh, I've seen this, and you guys are gonna be like, hey, we kind of worked on a movie together like this kind of which is like former washed up like ghost hunters are getting their job backs, but they have to prove that ghosts are real.
No.
and But they're
in the
working.
Trash. I meant our script, not this movie.
but the twist is, so it'd be like Ghost Hunters, like the TV show Ghost Hunters. They're reviving it with the original cast. Only the twist is they're gonna make them work with social media influencers.
Okay.
So it's like right. it's like this like I would say like the humor is kind of like biting Gen Z kind of not it's not for everybody, but I kind of like that humor when it's done right. It's like pretty damn good time for me. And mm-hmm. Doug Jones is in it, and I think Doug Jones is kind of always
love awesome. Jones.
Okay, I'm gonna try to burn. Well, Sunday's got a lot, so that's why there's a lot I'm talking about that's on Sunday. Oh god damn, we didn't talk about Legion. There's a movie called Legions playing on Saturday that I just love, and I can't not talk about it because it's closing on Saturday night, and it's next to Frankie Maniac Woman. But late night movies, I'm like, it's got to be the most strange kind of fucked up weird trip of a movie.
Hell
and
yeah.
Legions is like right in my wheelhouse of like, fuck yeah. Like, this is three different movies in one. And I kind of love all of them. It's about a guy who gets diagnosed with lesions on his brain. And he knows that there's something that's going to eventually happen. Basically, he's going to probably end up paralyzed, and his partner's going to take care of him. And there's like this whole dynamic that's happening. Like, would they have maybe whatever. But they go away in the movie to this, like, I believe it's his cabin, maybe his family cabin. And he's starting to have, like, debilitating issues because of these lesions on his brain. And then also it becomes a found footage, or not a found footage, it becomes a home invasion film.
Oh, okay. God.
All right.
So they go away to try to, like, help with his recovery. And they're doing this, he's doing this, like,
experimental.
Yeah, he's in this experimental drug, basically. And they're going away because of his prognosis. And then a home invasion happens. And this movie is like, it's a little body horror. It's a little like transformative movie. Like think of like, not exactly a werewolf type of film, but you know, whatever a transformative type of thing would be, body horror. Sure. Yeah. But then it's also a full ass slasher home invasion film.
Wow.
And it's all three of those happening like concurrently. And I just think it kind of rips like, and the cast is really good. Yeah. And it's pretty damn brutal. Like I would say the end of the movie goes maybe too hard for some people.
So the title, like Legions, you kind of expect that,
better,
right?
Yeah.
There's some cool shit in this movie that like it started one way, and then at the end I was like, damn, that was a ride. That was like a he took us everywhere in this movie. Yeah, this is a really cool movie. All right, I'll try to burn through a couple more here. Bria Grant's anthology film Grind.
Oh yeah,
love Bria. She's been here a few times. I rarely like anthology movies, but I had a great time watching this one because it's just a handful of stories. And she has a couple co-directors. Really fun. There is this action extravaganza film coming out that'll eventually be out, I think, in like May or June, called The Furious.
Oh, man. I have heard so much about this movie.
Okay. Yeah. This movie just kind of kicks so much ass. Like, it doesn't even matter. It's a Hong Kong action film. And
I can't wait.
So much fucking ass. Like, it played TIFF's Midnight Madness, and I think everyone lost their minds there. But it's like got some of the most wild fight scenes, like hand-to-hand fights you've seen in movies in a very, very long time.
Sad we're not seeing it with an audience. Fuck.
Yeah. Well,
that's gonna be a good time. That's gonna be. I'm happy for everybody who's going to Panic Fest this year. Okay. There.
Well, you know it's.
John's already de-icing the RV right now.
I really like to end that Sunday. I like to end Sunday with like that's the last show. But with just like this like crazy, just almost like it's closing night, but not really. Like in The Furious, I was like, what a jolt of energy to end the festival. We also, though, that day have Frogman Returns.
Oh, wow. I did not know there was a new Frogman movie coming.
Well, it's Frogman Returns, and Anthony Cousins is a staple here. I'd say he's been here quite a bit, and Frogman was here before. Frogman's going to return, and I'd say if you liked Frogman, boy, will you like when Frogman returns. And that's all. That's the poster, right?
Frogman fucks again.
And if you didn't watch Frogman, you could watch it before, and you should just rent it, and you're like. Again, a movie that like the first half and the last half, whoa, different movies. First half is like classic found footage movies. Second half, you're like, holy fuck, Frogman fucks. In like the best possible way, you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's an absolute blast, I think. speaking of blast, well, I don't know how much of a blast this is because it's not total fun. This movie was added in our last wave, which is the Pitchfork Retreat. Well, it's a lot of things. For some people, they're going to know this as the movie that is Tony Todd's last released film. I don't know when he filmed stuff because he was one of those working actors that just filmed a lot of things. Yeah. But this movie also has Dee Wallace, Daniel Harris is in it, Adrian Barbeau is in it.
Wow.
So it's kind of got like a stacked cast of who's who's. But it's kind of set up like an Agatha Christie like murder mystery in a way. Like people arriving on a private island for a horror writer's retreat. You know, so it's a little bit of like And Then There Were None and House on Haunted Hill kind of combining because there's a competition involved.
Love that.
And it's just really, really fun. So that's Pitchfork Retreat. That's playing Sunday as well. I think that's most the weekend. I'll just give you a couple hits. So the movie's playing the weekdays. I don't think any of these are premieres. All these have either premiered or are going to be somewhere else. And these movies every year, because these are movies that right now we don't know if somebody's coming. So they're playing out of the weekend because we want to have, like I said, filmmakers and their Q&As be full. So we put everything together on the weekends. Having said that, almost all the quote unquote biggest films end up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So for our local or regional people that can drive in and stay all week. But I always encourage everyone, because you should stay all week because these movies are awesome. Slasher movie called The Red Mask. Absolutely loved it. One of the first movies I watched when going through the programming. It is like authentically kind of a throwback to the original Scream in a lot of ways.
Ooh.
Really, really good slasher film.
I like the title.
Yeah, good title.
Yeah, really, really good. Like that was, I think, one of the first movies I watched, and I was immediately like, yes, this movie is awesome. Parasomnia, which is like another movie about sleep. And
I was like, this sounds like sleep paralysis.
But this also goes more of the Nightmare on Elm Street kind of way with it, where it's about a sleep demon.
Sick.
So the approach is a lot different from Don't Sleep Alone. Cause this feels more like, how do you trap Freddy and kill him? You know, that type of thing. And like unpacking the lore a little bit more. Real cool though. What else we got here? There's so many movies here, y'all. Like, I mean,
it's a killer program.
Okay. That same day, a movie called Goody Goody. That's one of our programmers' favorite film of the whole fest. Because it's the most him film. It is really good. It is a movie that has not premiered and doesn't have any information out at all right now. So I will just say Goody Goody. Oh, I think the thing that's out there is like a midwife. It's like midwife horror.
Ooh, like Goody. Oh, like sure. Pilgrim.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
but it goes a way.
Goody Hardenbrook or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Home birth going wrong during a blizzard, I guess, is what I could say, because that's not really telling you anything that is happening.
I love a mystery.
Really good. And that is premiering like a couple days, like simultaneously somewhere else and with us. This movie called Landlord, which is a vampire movie. I love Landlord. And it's just like, what happens if your house is, you know how a vampire can't come in your house that location? What if your landlord is the vampire?
Genius.
Yeah. I was like,
everybody hates landlords.
Yeah, it's just like,
and they only come at inconvenient times.
Yep.
That's like true. That's true. Greedy landlords. Saccharine, which is Natalie Erica James' new movie, who did The Relic. Absolutely love her first film. And really fucking love this next film. So Plays Sundance. I think people already are aware this movie exists. So I won't talk too much about that.
Her stuff is just beautiful to look at. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not your bag.
A film, a thriller called Suffocation. It's about school kids and swim team members. That movie was intense. That's all
is
I can
it
say.
Like it bully?
No. But like,
okay.
No. It involves a drowning of somebody in a mysterious way.
Oh, okay.
And it is like, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, cool.
Pretty awesome. I believe it's, I don't want to get it wrong. I think it's a Korean film. Nope, I was wrong. Fuck. It's a Taiwanese film. And then our closing night film, there's a few others in there that, there's a lot of films in this, but these are like me just trying to burn through these highlights. And there's a ton of films online that I love. Like I said, we only have so many spots. We have 33. and we have, I think, 58 films. And I wish I could show them all. I wish I could just be like film fest every day for 2 weeks or something. But that's impractical. But our closing night film is Neon's Hokum, Jamie McCarthy's new film. We've showed his previous films at Panic Fest, and this one is joining the ranks. I haven't watched this movie because I got to watch something at the festival. And I always try to hold one or two films for myself. But we showed Oddity and we showed Caveat. I believe we're the U.S. premiere of Caveat.
That's awesome.
And then he dies at the end. So we've shown a bunch of his films, and he has a very particular style. I think everyone connected with him on Oddity, which was probably his like scariest movie.
Definitely.
And you know, we all like Adam Scott, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the trailer came out. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I too want to keep that movie like really vague.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm already sold. I like his other stuff. I like Adam Scott. It looks like it could be a Stephen King movie, right? Like it's a writer goes to hotel.
Shush. People can Google it.
Yep. So that's our in-person lineup. I don't think I'm, let me double check. I don't think I missed anything. I might have.
What is the weirdest thing that you think you're playing this week or during the week?
The weirdest thing. What a Kim question to ask me here.
It's important to know because you don't want to miss it, right?
Like, yeah. There are so many movies that I ended up watching that I just based on the reaction of people coming out of.
Oh, that's my favorite when people are just like, I don't know what that was.
Shit.
And we're like writing the name.
I forgot about Jump Scare.
Oh, okay.
Which is about a female metal band called Jump Scare that are recording their new album in a remote cabin.
Oh, God. What a cool name for a band.
They're terrorized by a family of cannibals that live next door.
Of course.
Wow.
Great. Love it.
Original songs. The movie rips.
Oh, cool.
Music by Jump Scare? Fuck.
It's awesome. And then we have Camp. The weirdest movie we're playing. Okay, the weirdest movie we're playing.
It's always nice when this is a hard question to answer. You're like, we got so many weird movies.
What's your thing?
Because weird to me is different. The weirdest movie we're playing, besides Frogman Returns. Camp is pretty weird.
Okay.
I think it's only played one other festival in America, it played Fantastic Fest. I think is the only one I'm aware of. So this movie, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, it is kind of similar in premise to another movie that's coming out very soon. But this movie, I think, is a lot
weirder.
it's a lot weirder. So the director, I don't think I've seen any of her other work, Avalon Fast, but it's a story about a summer camp and a group of witches, modern Ooh. Witchcraft.
Hell yeah!
But like the witchcraft and the things they're doing and talking about in this, I think feel somewhere between the craft if it was done through a lens like I saw the TV glow.
Okay.
So it's a very particular vision and a very particular style. Yeah, I mean it is interesting, and it's like that movie. I think it really swings hard for the fences, and it does things that I'm like, whoa, this movie is really audacious, and audacious movies don't always work for everybody. But I mean, I always respect movies that take mega swings, and this one probably swings at things the hardest of anything. I think Camp is maybe the wildest tone and film that might not be for everybody, but the people who watch it. Oh, and fucking Buffet Infinity. That's buried at the bottom of my list. And that movie is a wild movie. Have you guys seen that? It played Fantasia last year.
No, I don't think we did.
Okay. It's a Canadian satirical comedy / horror film / like anti-consumerism movie. That uses like local produced TV commercials to unfold a story.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, that's like a story of two rival businesses, and that's kind of all you need to know. how it's unfolding is kind of wild. It feels like you're watching a nightmare, kind of, because it feels like you're watching a bunch of late night like local TV ads that are all together, and that's how the narrative is just told. And
is it like the that artist that does those weird installations, like Meow Wolf, or like where he's like really corporate funded, but everything is like weird, like he does like weird McDonald's?
I mean, it's just like if you can tell a story through like TV broadcasts, commercials, infomercials, from a weird, hyper specific small community.
Okay. That's so like local small business ads. Like
it's going to be commercials access. We've seen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so just I don't know. It's very, I think it's very like funny, but it does turn into genre pretty. It is a wild movie.
Cool.
I can't wait for that.
Canadian commercials have always been weird.
Yeah.
And that see how I listed some of these is kind of weird. My notes. I end up giving everybody a shout out, I think.
Yeah. And then, good.
The millions and millions of short film filmmakers that are, you know, part of the festival. There's so many good ones in there. And yeah, so there you have it. That's the lineup. And then there's plenty more online. Like I said, there's these never end. There's endless films.
Like we are huge fans of Panic Fest. If you can at all make your way out to Missouri to check out the Screenland Armor Theater, this is a really cool group of people to hang out with. But we've also done the virtual side as well. I've had a lot of fun hanging out on Gather because filmmakers from other countries go on Gather and just like hang out in the lobby and talk with people. So like you still get that same sort of community aspect where you can just sort of wander around and talk to people on your webcam. It's a hell of a lot of fun. And some of my favorite movies every year I've always found on the virtual side.
And we'll probably be in there also.
We'll probably be in there.
Poking around. Yeah, you can go in there, just knock before you come in the door or whatever you guys say.
Hanging out in the film festival closet.
Yeah. What was the COVID year? We had so many people in there and we were playing Werewolf, right?
Oh, yeah. That was so fun.
Yes. Yeah, we were.
Yeah, that
we
was
did
so
all
much
those
fun.
Puppet intro.
Yeah,
because
Yeah,
I just remember the amount of people that were in the same house, but in different on different rooms and stuff, because we were all in to play games together.
Yeah.
So you guys are like, hang on, let me go to my computer, and like Kim was in a different room, and you were in a different room, and it was chaotic and so much fun, and it continues to be. So you know, obviously. Nothing beats in person, but you know, there's plenty to do online, and there are individual tickets too. So if you're listening, you're like, I'd like to go, but I don't want to buy however much the online badge is. There's individual tickets, so you can just watch one movie.
Hell yeah!
And then be like, there, I did it. I Panic Fest. And it was terrible. I hated it.
Oh man, well, Adam, thank you so much for always taking the time to put all this together. I know it's like a fucking mountain of work every single year, and you do it every single year, and for coming on the show and for telling us all about your favorites, man. We're really, really excited to check out these movies, and we hope everybody's gonna have fun. I know everybody's gonna have fun at Panic Fest.
Yeah,
I'm just
you guys.
Very well, bummed we're not coming, but
keep
also
keep an eye out for the giant heads of John and Kim in the lobby.
Yeah,
we'll be at the red carpet just for you to pull in and take photos with.
Yeah, do it. Get a little photo spot. Just like, this is our Canadian corner. It's just like a moose, a Canadian flag, and a whole bunch of poutine cutouts of us.
I think we have a lot of films this year from Canada. I think there's four or five off the top of my head that we have.
So maybe we should go and just support some CanCon.
I mean, could.
Let's discuss offline.
we'll discuss internally. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm going to go back to work.
Yeah.
Same.
We're going to do the same. Thank you again to Adam Roberts for taking the time to talk to us on the podcast. Panic Fest kicks off April 9th. You can find more info at panicfilmfest.com. If you haven't already picked up a badge, you can use the offer code NOFS10 to get 10% off your badge right now, virtual, in person. Use that offer code, get yourself a cool discount, and check out some kick-ass movies. We'll be back again next week talking about a classic horror movie, actually. And we spent a lot of time today on the podcast talking about new horror and upcoming horror movies. But next week, we're shifting gears. We're getting in the Wayback Machine, and we are talking about a Technicolor classic. So I'm really excited to share that episode with you. Join us next week for that. But until then, stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.